Another good point of having a more aggressive portfolio as we're in the accumulation phase and as we get closer to retirement, we want to have a more conservative approach because all of my clients who are retired, we like to say that the return of their money takes precedence on the return on their money.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. On today's Finance Friday episode, we're going to be talking about all things financial planning, how to plan for the future. We've talked a lot about on the show, you know, about ways to grow wealth, ways to limit expenses, improve credit. We've never really talked about the planning phase and, you know, diversification, allocation of funds, all that good stuff. And that's what this episode is really about. And today's guest, we both grew up East Coast, both big skiers. He's now out West Coast in Bend. And we've actually found out we both went to the same ski academy, which is kind of funny growing up. And David has a really cool story. He'll get into it, but he grew up starting small business and he would work that every summer. And then you take that money and go travel the world. And he's a big mountaineer. He likes to hike and adventure traveling abroad. And so he did that for several years, eventually sold that business that he would do every summer, asked himself what's next. And he realized a lot of people would come to him for financial advice because he had built this business in his early 20s and sold it by the time he was 30 for a good profit and also been investing along the way and was able to fund his lifestyle that he wanted. So people were always reaching out to him like, how can I do that? So he decided to get into financial advising. And he's also an author, has published 2 books, about to be 3. He takes a unique approach to writing about finance. It's not just a dry book. And the reason I'm saying this, because he actually sent me one and I've started it for those watching, you can see it right here. It's Failure is Not an Option. And unique way he writes about it. So for someone like me, I love reading finance, real estate, all those types of books. Like that's not boring to me. That's fun. But I know for some people that is kind of dry. But he takes a unique approach to writing where he talks about his adventure traveling, about mountaineering, and then he relates it to some type of financial education point that he'll relate the two. And it's just a really fun read. So he's gotten a lot of traction from these books. On this episode, we're going to jump into about that accumulation phase of planning, what you need to do to grow. And then we briefly touch on once you get to, you know, near and at retirement, what you should be looking at in terms of planning and setting yourself up to succeed. So without further ado, let's introduce David to the show. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Sean. Great to be here with you today.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to this one. But before we get into kind of all the number stuff, the finance stuff that we both love, let's get a little origin story. Everyone loves a good origin story. So if you don't mind telling the listeners about David and your past, how you got to where you are today and what you're getting into today.
I'd be happy to share that. I'd say it all started in my youth. At 15, I started my first business. And it was a driveway seal coating business in upstate New York. And I did that through high school and did it through college. And you could only do the seasonal business in the summertime because it was too cold in the wintertime to adhere to this stuff. And I had to go back to school. And I kept growing this business from 8 driveways the first summer to, by the time I graduated college, we were doing a couple hundred driveways a summer.
Wow.
And when I graduated college, I said, you know, Mom and Dad, I'm going to take one winter off. And instead of getting a real job, I'm going to go down to Australia and New Zealand for 6 months, come back, work the summer business one more year. And then I promise I'll get a real job. And that changed my life, seeing another part of the world and opened up my eyes coming from a small town. And came home that summer. And instead of doing 250 driveways, we did 350 driveways.
Wow.
And I said, Mom and Dad, I'm going to go to Southeast Asia next year for 6 months. And lo and behold, 10 years later, I'd spent a month in 65 different countries around the world, and we were seal coating about 1,500 driveways a summer.
Wow, that's so cool.
It was an amazing, serendipitous time in my life. And what had happened is I started saving up all this money and learning about retirement accounts and IRAs and got so excited about it. I got some of my team members with the business to start funding their IRAs. Back then, it was only $2,000 a year you could fund. And when I sold that company at the age of 30, I thought, what's my next calling? And so many family and friends would come to me for financial advice. I said, I think it's the world of financial planning. And so I started my financial firm here in beautiful Bend, Oregon, just 20 years ago. And it's been a lot of fun.
That's amazing. What got you Bend all the way from upstate New York?
Oh, well, the Adirondacks in New York are certainly a beautiful place. But after doing multiple ski trips out west and the weather and just the attitudes of the people here, of a more carefree attitude, I just knew that one day I'd be living somewhere out west, and found Bend because it was that perfect mix of make-believe land with the real world.
That's awesome. Well, I feel you on that. I'm from the East Coast, grew up in the East Coast, went to school in the East Coast, worked in the East Coast pretty much. So I've been in the East Coast my whole life.
Where on the East Coast?
So I grew up in New Hampshire, both kind of interchangeably right on the border there. And then went to school in Boston, worked in Boston, and currently now I'm back in New Hampshire for the time being. So I know what that's like. I'm also a big skier, made several trips out west, and I've always had my eye on moving to the Salt Lake region. So kind of have that connection with you on that front.
Yeah, you probably have a love for that whole little Cottonwood Canyon area and Snowbird and Alta.
I was there last year. Yep, love it.
Yeah, beautiful part of the world. You also know how to park your car in the yard, I bet.
Yeah, Harvard Yard. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so we got that connection. I also worked in the financial services industry, worked for an investment firm. So it's kind of cool. A lot of similarities, but I'd love to kind of...
Energy is there.
Yeah, exactly. Would love to kind of dive into, like I said before we started, I've never on this show had someone talk about planning. You know, we're always talking about building wealth on this show, primarily through real estate. On our Monday episodes, but then on Friday, we always talk in personal finance. And one aspect of that is, to me, is diversification. So I would never tell anyone that they should invest all their assets into one basket. So I would love to kind of get your perspective, what you do and what someone my age, anywhere from late 20s to late 30s, what they should be focusing on in terms of growing wealth for the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. I recently wrote a book about this called Keep Climbing, A Millennial's Guide to Financial Planning. And it really focuses on some of the keys to success. And one of those is really do it now. Albert Einstein says that the eighth wonder of the world is that of compound interest, getting the interest on the interest. And, you know, one of the things that really changed my trajectory in life was I was 19 years old and the business, the seal coating business, was doing well. And there's really two things that a 19-year-old male has on their minds all the time, and automobiles are one of them.
Yeah.
And you might remember there used to be the Honda Prelude. And I remember sharing with my grandmother and my dad this brochure of the Honda Prelude that I already got approval for the bank was really going to be purchasing. And they took out this chart that showed, if you fund an IRA at $2,000 a year between the ages of 19 and stop when you're 26, so you're funding it for just 7 years, and it compounds, the power of compound interest, and you get the stock market average of about 10%, you'd have over $1 million when you hit age 65. And yet if you started when you were 27, when the first person stopped, and funded it all the years up till age 65, you'd actually have about 20% less money. And this was an aha moment that taught me that it's really time. And the earlier that people can get started, the more magical it can become.
That's awesome. I don't know if it was the same chart, but I've seen a similar one. I know I shared that on this show too. And it's true, the power of compounding, it's just, you can't argue against it. And it really will set up your future to whatever you want it to be if the earlier you start. So I always recommend this to everyone. Start as early as possible. Live that life today like most won't, so you can live a life in the future like most can't. And that involves sacrificing some things along the way and putting some money away. So I can agree more with you on that. So
yeah, same here. Right in line of what you just said, one of the things that I learned from my grandmother, Ruth, was she said, if your goal is to accumulate wealth or be independent of the paycheck one day, you really don't need to do anything extraordinary. You just need to do some ordinary things extraordinarily well. And what she meant was, instead of living on 100 or 105% of every paycheck, live on 90% of that paycheck and put that 10% away and allow that to compound over time.
Yeah, it's so true. It's like the book, The Richest Man in Babylon. They also talk in many other books, but yeah, it's about putting that, you know, at least 10% away every paycheck and invest that, live on that 90% or less. And yeah, it's scary because I feel like most of our country does not do that. And then they wait until they get the aha moment you're talking about when they're in their 40s, 50s, and pray to God it's not their 60s that they get that. But the earlier you start, the better. So that's wonderful advice.
Another lesson I remember is being asked many years ago, hey, David, would you rather have this penny doubled every day for 30 days, or would you rather have a check for $1 million? And I remember saying, I'll take that check for $1 million. And then a picture says 1,000 words. And I have this chart in my new book where it shows a penny by day two becomes 2 cents. And by the third day becomes 4 cents, then 8 and 16 cents. And looking at the chart here, by the time you get to day 16, it's grown to $327, the doubling of the penny. And then that 327 grows to 655 the next day, and then 1300. And by the time you get to day 24, you have $83,000. It's only 6 days to go. So you're like, yeah, I made the right decision. I took that $1 million check. But then it's the last 6 days, which boggles my mind to this date, because that $83,000 the next day grows to 167, and then 335, 671,000. By day 28, you got 1.3. That 1.3 doubles to 2.6. And by day 30, after doubling a penny for 30 times, you have $5.3 million.
That's crazy.
And that is the power of compound interest.
Yep. Oh, that's phenomenal. That's what everyone should be aiming to do. Try to double that penny every single day. And if you constantly put money away, that's the path to that. And the earlier you start, the better.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Oh, I love that story. Facts tell, but story sells. I'm happy you shared that one. So what else would you advise someone around my age to do once they've accepted, yes, I need to start investing and putting away money consistently at a consistent frequency? What should be the next step?
Well, I think most people in the workforce are working for companies where there's 401ks. And most employers, after you've been there a year or so, have some kind of match. And that's free money. Very often they'll match up to the first 3-4%. So minimally be funding your 401k up to that match, because who wants to turn away free money? But you also have this tax deferred growth. So you're helping yourself now. So if someone, say, made $50,000 a year and they funded $5,000 into their 401k, instead of being taxed on $50,000 of income that year, they're only being taxed on $45,000 of income. Mm-hmm. So the IRS in the government is trying to reward us by putting money aside now for our financial future. And then between now and those retirement years, as we continue to fund this account, we're not paying any taxes on those dollars until we take withdrawals after the age of 59 and a half. So it just able to compound and grow with the markets.
Yeah, the whole time value of money. The more you have now, the more you can put to work and grow for the future. That's extremely powerful. And when I started off, I did the same thing. We used to call it free money. If you're not contributing to what they'll match, you're essentially throwing it away. So I agree with you on that. And when it comes to planning, I feel like most millennials, I never want to overgeneralize, but I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily plan. They'll be like, yeah, I'll put this money away, I'll invest, but they don't really plan for the future and what the future might entail and how that can really affect them and the quality of life they want to live. One, I guess, what's advice you would have for someone like me to plan for the future? And what are some of the kind of pitfalls you've seen that people should try to avoid?
Yeah, I think certainly as you start to get married and start having a family, it becomes even more and more important. But it goes back to that old adage that if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail.
Yep.
And it is so important. I know a lot of your listeners have been self-educating themselves, which is why they listen to your great podcast. And some of them at this stage may not need an official plan, as long as they're continuing to fund a significant portion of their income now for their future. But I think for those that aren't, because not everyone wants to read a financial book on the weekends.
Right.
Then I think it's really good to seek out the advice of a financial advisor that you resonate with. So speak to your friends in your community and see who they're working with and interview different financial planners and see who resonates the most with you. And having a great team on board, including a financial planner, a tax advisor, eventually an estate planning attorney, even to help you with your wills and trusts when you have a young family, is really imperative for moving forward, in my opinion.
I couldn't agree more. It's just good to get that unbiased outside advice, because I think a lot of us kind of, we're in our own little shell, and sometimes we think we know best and we know where we want to go, but there's a lot of stuff out there that we just don't know. And I think that's where real knowledge and power comes from, is when you can accept that and know that, yeah, I don't know everything and I need to seek out professionals that might know more than me in a certain field that could help me and my family in the future. So I think that's very important. And yeah, I think it's very necessary.
Yeah, it's really no different than when I invest into real estate, which diversification, as you mentioned early on, is super important. I'm seeking out professionals like yourself for guidance in real estate.
Yep.
My focus happens to be the stock market. That's where my expertise is. So diversifying one's overall portfolio over time is imperative. Owning bits of real estate, owning bits of the stock market is really great. It helps with the multiple streams of income that we'll need later on in life. And that also goes back to when we're talking diversification in the stock market, it's been proven that over 90% of success doesn't come from owning that right Tesla stock or owning Bitcoin early on. It really comes from owning all the different asset classes at different percentages based on your age and risk tolerance. So these asset classes, there's 24 main asset classes in the markets, including real estate, different types of bonds, large company stocks, small company stocks, international, and so on. And I have a son and a daughter. They come from the same parents, and yet they behave so differently from them, right? You can relate to your siblings.
Yeah.
I mean, these asset classes all come from the same family, the stock market, but they all behave so differently from each other. So it's really important to own little bits of all these different asset classes and then rebalance your portfolio over the year. And this is really where the guidance of a really good financial planner could come into play.
Yeah, it's so true. And that was one aspect of my previous career, is we'd be putting together proposals, our funds for prospective investors based on, one, what they're looking for, their investment objectives, and then two, kind of already what they own. So we do a lot of analysis, correlation analysis, and listeners, that's simply just correlation is how this fund or this investment vehicle will react to another one based on the underlying market. Will it move in unison, or will it go the other way, essentially, is the most basic way to explain it. And so we'd look at the correlation between the different investments and also the overlap, because obviously if there's a lot of overlap, then what's the point of adding this to the portfolio? So that's a great point. That's a lot of what we would look at, and it's important to diversify. And I know there's a lot of my counterparts in this space that will hit on real estate, real estate, real estate. That's all you should be focusing on. And I get it from a marketing standpoint, what they're doing, but I'm still, to my core, to my bones, I'm about finance. And a big aspect of that is diversification. And true diversification is using all of, well, maybe not all, but a good portion of the asset class David was just mentioning. And it's going to change over time. Like as a younger person like myself, and David, you can expound upon this as well, but I'm going to be more aggressive. So I'm probably going to have more, if we're talking about the stock market, I'm going to have more equity, maybe even 100% equity if I have a high risk tolerance. And which I do. So that's currently where I'm at in the stock market. And then as I get older, I'm going to start peeling that back and adding other less risky asset classes. So maybe some bonds, some fixed income products. And then, but I'm also going to have a bunch of real estate. And right now that real estate might be riskier. It might be more of a reposition play, B class, C class type of property. And then as I get older, that will probably shift to more of an A class stabilized property, newer build that has less maintenance and higher quality tenant that has better credit score. And that's really important when you're looking to grow wealth. It's not all about, like David mentioned, hitting that Tesla stock at the right time or getting in on Bitcoin earlier. It's about having a fair and balanced portfolio that will provide you multiple income streams. So
yeah,
I just wanted to add on that point. For you.
Yeah, two things that you touched upon. One is uncorrelated assets. One of the reasons that we like having real estate in our clients' portfolio is very often when the stock market goes down, which it does on average 25% of the time.
Yeah.
75% of the time it's up, and the S&P has averaged just under 10% per year since 1900. But when the stock market's down, it's not really correlated with real estate. So often real estate's, and when real estate is down in a certain geographic area, doesn't mean the stock market's down. Or just because it's down in New Hampshire doesn't mean it's going to be down, say, in California.
Right.
So diversifying amongst all those different asset classes is imperative.
Yeah, exactly.
You brought up another good point of having a more aggressive portfolio as we're in the accumulation phase. And as we get closer to retirement, or maybe even smack dab in retirement, we want to have a more conservative approach, because all of my clients who are retired, we like to say that the return of their money takes precedence on the return on their money. So they might even have 50% in stocks and 50% in fixed income or bonds. We always like to say you need stocks or equities to live well, and you need bonds or fixed income to sleep well. And it's finding that balance based on your own age and risk tolerance and time horizon. So that's a great point, Sean.
Yeah, because you don't want to be 1 year away from retirement, be all in equities and have a 2008 happen. No one wants to be in that situation, because the sad thing is you're not going to be retiring the next year. So that's the diversification is very important. And I love what you said about return of capital versus return on capital. Obviously, we all want return on capital. We want to see our money grow. I would mentioning, and it's going to change over time. Like as a younger person like myself, and David, you can expound upon this as well, but I'm going to be more aggressive. So I'm probably going to have, you know, more, if we're talking about the stock market, I'm going to have more equity, maybe even 100% equity if I have a high risk tolerance, and which I do. So that's currently where I'm at in the stock market. And then as I get older, I'm going to start peeling that back and adding other less risky asset classes. So maybe some bonds, some fixed income products. And then, but I'm also going to have a bunch of real estate. And right now that real estate might be riskier. It might be more of a reposition play, B class, C class type of property. And then as I get older, that will probably shift to more of an A class stabilized property, newer build that has less maintenance and a higher quality tenant that has better credit score. And that's really important when you're looking to grow wealth. It's not all about, like David mentioned, hitting that Tesla stock at the right time or getting in on Bitcoin earlier. It's about having a fair and balanced portfolio that will provide you multiple income streams. So
yeah,
I just wanted to add on that point. For you.
Yeah. Two things that you touched upon. One is uncorrelated assets. One of the reasons that we like having real estate in our clients' portfolio is very often when the stock market goes down, which it does on average 25% of the time.
Yep.
75% of the time it's up, and the S&P has averaged just under 10% per year since 1900. But when the stock market's down, it's not really correlated with real estate. So often real estate's, and when real estate is down in a certain geographic area, doesn't mean the stock market's down. Or just because it's down in New Hampshire doesn't mean it's going to be down, say, in California.
Right.
So diversifying amongst all those different asset classes is imperative.
Yeah, exactly.
You brought up another good point of having a more aggressive portfolio as we're in the accumulation phase. And as we get closer to retirement, or maybe even smack dab in retirement, we want to have a more conservative approach, because all of my clients who are retired, we like to say that the return of their money takes precedence on the return on their money. So they might even have 50% in stocks and 50% in fixed income or bonds. We always like to say you need stocks or equities to live well, and you need bonds or fixed income to sleep well. And it's finding that balance based on your own age and risk tolerance and time horizon. So that's a great point, Sean.
Yeah, because you don't want to be 1 year away from retirement, be all in equities and have a 2008 happen. No one wants to be in that situation, because the sad thing is you're not going to be retiring the next year. So that's diversification is very important. And I love what you said about return of capital versus return on capital. Obviously, we all want return on capital. We want to see our money grow. But I would make the bet that most people want they would have more of an emotional response to losing money than actually making money. So that it's more important for that money to be returned to them, their initial investment, than necessarily to make money. And that's one thing that we focus on as an investment company in real estate, is that we focus on preservation of capital, number one, and then return on capital, number two. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, it's a good point. And for a lot of your listeners out there who are in the accumulation phase and who are already funding their 401ks, and if they're not, hopefully they're going to start on Monday after listening to the show. When the markets go down, I look at it as a positive rather than a negative, because if it's funding a retirement account, they can't touch these accounts anyways for a number of decades.
Right.
And if they're funding a portion of their paycheck every pay period into, say, a 401k, and let's say the markets were hypothetically down 10% or down 34% like they were in March of 2020 when the global pandemic was really becoming a reality. Of course, it's bounced back well over 100% since. But at that time in March of 2020, when the S&P dropped 34%, instead of being depressed, I'm looking at it as a great thing, because that pay period, we were purchasing 34% more shares in our retirement account with the same dollar.
Right.
So it's more like a boy climbing one of your beautiful mountains in New Hampshire, the White Mountains, and visualize a boy climbing a mountain with the yo-yo, and the yo-yo represents the stock market or even the real estate market. And the yo-yo goes down and people lose sleep, and the yo-yo goes back up and they're elated, and it keeps going up and down and people are having a coronary. Well, I think it's best for us to focus on the boy carrying the yo-yo and not the yo-yo itself, because they get to the top of Mount Washington at exactly the same time. And if you're focusing on the boy carrying the yo-yo, it's smooth sailing. You're focusing on the yo-yo, you're just going to have a lot of anxiety in your life.
Exactly. And I think that goes to whatever you invest in, the buy and hold strategy. Are you taking those listening and not watching? I'm picking up my phone, but are you the person who picks up your phone and constantly looks at what the market's doing? That's not the way to do it. One, you're going to, you know, maybe give yourself a heart attack one day, but two, you're just going to make decisions based on emotion when you do that. And if you invest to buy and hold, one day you're going to wake up with a lot of money. And that, no matter what you invest in, stocks, real estate, I've met a lot of successful real estate investors, and they say that their biggest regrets are the deals they sold. If they had held on to them, they would be worth X, the whole what if thing. But it's true. It's buy a solid investment because you believe in that investment for the future and you hold on to it. And that's so true. Why watch the yo-yo? But I had a question for you. I don't know, maybe that was the story, but David was nice enough to send me his book. And so I dug into some things, and he had a kind of something he learned, important investment lesson he learned from a mountaineer, one of the world's greatest. And I didn't know if was that the story, or is there something else that you want to share? Because that kind of piqued my interest.
A lot of my clients are people who have accumulated wealth and they're in the distribution phase. They're now living off of those accounts. But my analogy came from Ed Viesters. And Ed is the greatest mountaineer that's ever walked the planet Earth. As a matter of fact, he has summited Mount Everest 7 times.
Wow.
Without supplemental oxygen. Imagine that.
Awesome.
He's also climbed all 14 8,000 meter peaks in the world without supplemental oxygen.
Wow.
K2 and Annapurna.
K2, yeah.
And so I'll never forget the day he shared with me. He said, you know, David, most people think our goal is to summit, but that would be the last answer any experienced mountaineer would give. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you see, 80% of the accidents and 80% of the deaths happen on the descent. You're fighting lack of sunlight, you're getting fatigued, your body is tired, and just descending is harder than climbing. And he said, it's actually the second half of our journey is the part that needs the most amount of planning, because it takes the most amount of risk. And he said, our goal is to summit, but then get back down alive to our friends and family. And that was my aha moment working with my clients who are in the distribution phase. A lot of people think when you get to retirement and you reach the top of that financial peak, that you're all set. And I'm here to share with the listeners out there that no, because the challenge It's the last day that you're funding your 401ks and IRAs, and now you're going to be living on it for 3 to 4 decades. Mm-hmm. So it's the second half of your financial journey that also takes on the most amount of risks and needs the most amount of planning. And this planning becomes much easier when all of you listening out there start now, start planning now, because as my grandma Ruth said, you don't need to do anything extraordinary if your goal is to accumulate wealth or just be independent of the paycheck, but we need to do some ordinary things extraordinarily well. Fund your 401k every single pay period.
So true. And I'd really like that story. That's a great analogy because you get to the top and now what? And I feel like once you reach that goal, whatever it may be, you kind of lose track of why you had that goal in the first place and that it can be perilous from there.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the reasons that your podcast is doing so well is because you're very passionate about it. And what I wanted to do is mesh two passions I have in my life. So I have this passion, obviously, from early on in this episode of sharing with you for adventure traveling, having spent a month in 65 countries around the world. And I have a deep passion like yourself for helping people with their finances. So my different books, what they do is no one wants to go home on the week and read a financial planning book, or very few people out there besides maybe you and me.
Right, right.
And so what I did is I tried to write, and I think I've accomplished it from what I'm told, is financial planning books that are actually fun to read. So every chapter starts with one of my more riveting overseas adventure stories, but then leads into a financial lesson. And by the time you get to the end of that chapter, and there might be one chart too many, it immediately goes back into another fun story in the next chapter, which links into a financial lesson. So it's been a fun thing, and I'm just working on my third book right now.
Oh, cool. What's that going to be on? Because the one we've been mostly talking about is for kind of like my age group and millennials. Then you have one, obviously, for those at or nearing retirement. What will this be on?
Yeah. So the one for millennials is called Keep Climbing, A Millennial's Guide to Financial Planning. The one for people at or near retirement is called Failure is Not an Option, Creating Certainty. Right? You got it. In the uncertainty of retirement. And that's Mount Bachelor, which is our ski area, just about 20 minutes from where my office is located.
Awesome. And that makes for a good gig off for a quick run or two during lunch.
it sure does, which is why I live here. We're supposed to start skiing tomorrow, but it's going to be almost 60 degrees and sunny. So the resort is on delay, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
And then this third book, which I'm just working on right now, is called In the Know.
Okay.
That won't be out till later next year.
Nice. Well, congratulations. Did you ever think of yourself as a writer, say 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
They say everyone has a book inside of them. And now I'm a believer because I'd never written a book before. But what I did is I took a lot of the excerpts out of my travel journeys from back in my youth and mixed it in with these stories. And it's really been dreamy for me. Books for being a no-name author really have gone on to receive a lot of national acclaim. And when Charles Schwab Jr. endorsed Failure's Not an Option, and then that led to a lot of icons in the world of business and motivation endorsing the book, it really changed everything for me. And now a big portion of my time is spent in my unique ability. And when I say unique ability, that's doing the things that you would do even if you weren't getting compensated for it. And for me, now it's writing and speaking. So I do a lot of speaking around the country. And it's really a joyful experience for me.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm excited to actually dig into it. I started it, but haven't gotten too far yet, but I'm excited to finish it. And I love how you do structure it with both the personal travel adventure stories and then bringing finance in. I think anyone could really be engaged to this book, whether you're a nerd like David and I are when it comes to finance or not. I think you will enjoy it and get a lot out of it. So highly recommend it. But David, I wanted to ask you, this is kind of, I think I might know the answer the way our conversation went, but this is kind of a general question I ask everyone. And that's, if you could go back in time and tell your younger self one piece of financial advice that could set your life up and your family's life up better than maybe it is now, what would that be?
Oh, I would really go back to what we've been talking about. Do it now. Think about that doubling of a penny, 30 days. And you get $5 million. The harder we are on ourselves today, the easier life will be on us later.
That's love that. That's awesome. And so true. I feel like a lot of people don't realize that. They don't want to be hard on themselves now, but what ends up happening is then life is even harder on them in the future. So listeners, don't fall into that trap, which I'm sure most of you are not, since you're actually taking time to listen to this type of show. But in case there's any of you out there, 100% agree with everything David's been saying today. So David, before I let you go, where can listeners find you? Where can they get your book?
Yeah, well, the book can be purchased at Amazon, for sure, both those books. And they can reach me at davidrosell.com, R-O-S-E-L-L, davidrosell.com, and that has links to the books, and a lot of the financial lessons are on that site. And we have a financial firm here in Bend called Rosell Wealth Management, where the focus of our particular practice is on people who have already accumulated wealth. But if anyone has any questions, even if they're in the accumulation phase, please reach out to me. Be happy to help in any way I can.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, even right before Thanksgiving. For those, this probably will not drop around Thanksgiving, but we're recording it on the day before. So I really appreciate your time, David. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And I hope maybe one day we can go skiing together.
I would love that, Sean. It was a pleasure to be on your show, and wishing you and all the listeners a very happy Thanksgiving and great holiday season.
Thanks, David. Well, listeners, thanks for tuning in as always, and we will catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.